and welcome to That's a Thing, a sometimes belated, already outdated guide to your teens, tweens, and everything under 20. I'm Elizabeth.
I'm Karen. And we're a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown, community supported. Half of us are not nearly as spooky as the other half.
And it's Halloween! I'm going to need everybody to accept that that was my Dracula voice and not my Borat voice. Real quick, okay? Can we just play in the space, suspensions of disbelief? I'm good at the theater, actually. Cool. So since Halloween is the only good holiday, I make it my mission to talk about something at least spooky adjacent every October. Do you like spooky stuff, Mom?
No. Well, I don't know. Like, I don't like horror movies. I am easily startled, as we have already established. But you know, like the aesthetic of Halloween is interesting to me as well.
What do you mean by interesting to you?
Well, like, it's eye-catching. And when I was a kid, actually, I went through a phase of reading like books about monsters and mysteries of the unknown and the paranormal and all that kind of stuff. So it kind of reminds me of when I was like about 11.
Okay, so after 11, you stopped being cool. It's good to know. It's good information to have. So I've done better than you.
Yeah, you maintained your cool for much longer than me.
Nice, nice. So despite Mom's abject cowardice and no funnery, it was actually her idea, I think, for us to leave our anti-plague fortress and venture into the world of pop-up Halloween retail. Where did we go?
We went to a Spirit of Halloween and a Halloween Alley.
Yes.
There are approximately a million now in Edmonton because there's so much empty retail space and so much need for people to buy Halloween costumes and decorations, I guess.
So the reason we went is because we're doing a bit of a resurrection, shall we say, to be spooky, of our very first episode of the podcast, which was about creepypasta, back when I was like a little bit edgier and probably too young to have a podcast. And now I'm slightly less edgy and definitely too young to have a podcast. So if you were you should not listen to our first episode of the podcast.
Because it's fine. It's fine.
You're my mom.
Okay.
It is not fine. Do not do this thing. I have not existed past yesterday. So in case you didn't know, creepypasta is a genre of internet horror fiction. It comes with a tangled web of subgenres, shared universes, and dubious relationships with canon that one can come to expect from such internet originated, community-grown things. What I'm interested in talking about now is the way that creepypasta monsters have managed to find a foothold in the mainstream past the heyday of creepypasta, which was, again, like 5 years ago. I've been doing this podcast for too long. So we're going beyond the creepypasta wiki and YouTube horror narration videos and into the world of physical spooky retail and that kind of thing. But first, we're going to hear from our sponsors, who are not Halloween Alley or Spirit Halloween.
No, but masks come up, so cool. It's kind of adjacent. Yes, this episode is brought to you by Unbelts, the Edmonton-based business that makes the comfiest stretch belts around, and they also make cloth masks. These masks are designed by serious perfectionists. They follow all the latest WHO guidelines. They're ethically made right down to their components, but most importantly, they're super comfortable, even if you have to wear them all day, which we do.
Now is a great time to stock up on masks, especially because you should be wearing one if you're handing out candy on Halloween, or if you're taking your little ones trick-or-treating, or if you're, for some reason, going to a Halloween party during a plague. All good reasons to be stocked up in this time of maybe meeting people more than you have been.
Yes. But don't go to a party. But do wear a mask. Unbelts masks have elastic straps that go around your head instead of your ears, although you can now buy optional ear loops if you prefer that, which I think we might purchase some of those so that we can go to the hairdresser and not have to change our mask. They've got a nose wire, they've got waterproof shell on the outside and organic cotton on the inside. They come in all sorts of colors and four sizes, from preschool to adult extra large. And guess what? Unbelts is a certified B Corporation, which means their business is all about giving back. In September, Unbelts donated over 20,000 masks for vulnerable Alberta kids and teens through its Unbelts Masks for Schools campaign. Isn't that nice?
That is nice.
Claire's amazing.
Yeah.
So what are you waiting for? Head to unbelts.ca to order your masks today. Shipping is always free. And again, that's unbelts.ca.
Woo.
Woo.
So we found quite a few cheap Halloween costumes and one absolutely wild Slenderman animatronic, which I think has been burned into my retinas for all eternity because it made a baffling choice that maybe I'll talk a little bit about. But yeah, we found quite a few gems, and by gems, I mean garbage. And we'll share pictures of these on Instagram. We took
some. I
would
just add, not all of them were cheap. Some of them were quite expensive. Yeah.
Expensive garbage, yes. But yeah, many of the most mainstream creepypasta characters are basically slashers. So your Michael Myers, your Freddy Krueger's. I've lost all of my cred immediately. Oh no. Your Jason Voorhees and your Jeff the Killers. It's all basically the category of
so
thing.
Jeff the Killer is your generation's version of Freddy or Michael or Jason.
Pretty much. Okay. Yeah. They're gimmicky, they're supernaturally enhanced serial killers, and they tend to have a signature look, right? They always wear kind of the same thing. They're like cartoon characters. They just have a closet that's all one sweater. Good for them. So if you're a cheapskate company looking for designs that are easy to steal, Creepypasta is a really smart place to go. Because there's some name recognition. People tend to have heard Jeff the Killer, Slenderman, some of those more mainstream ones, especially a couple of years ago. You get that. People who are extremely online in the horror space know all of these. But there's virtually no author recognition to go with it. Like, you don't look at it... you're not referencing a text and you cite, like, Jeff the Killer by author's name because you have no idea who wrote it. Right. Like, there's a probably first person who wrote it, but there's not, like, a for sure has the manuscript. I did it. It was right. me type We're situation.
This is not a character we can ascribe to Stephen King or somebody.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So there's also, along with that, not much established copyright, because many creepypastas are written by literal teenagers with no understanding of that kind of thing, or were created by groups of people. So Halloween masks of creepypasta characters will often just blend into the trademarked horror movie masks and generic stuff, mm-hmm. Which was largely your experience until I point something out. You did recognize it, Jeff. I'm very proud of you. I've taught you so much. but for the most part, people who would be critical of that kind of thing also won't know that they're looking for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you do have to know what you're looking for to spot them, generally, except there were some that were actually labeled creepypasta,
which was interesting. Yeah.
I do recognize these on site. I still have all of this knowledge in my head. I don't remember anything from the last 3 math classes I took, but I can recognize a Zalgo on site, and that is the only thing I can be proud of anymore. So there we go. Anyway, Jeff the Killer is kind of my main example here. The Screamer image. You know what a Screamer is? Do we have to take a detour?
Do you mean like the scream from...
No.
No, okay.
Okay, so this is an old internet trick, but it still pops up every once in a while. It's now kind of considered problematic, but this is from like Wild West internet days. So a screamer is a scary picture that will pop up in the middle of a GIF or in a video or a website link. It's like the same age as Rickrolling. So somebody will send you a link and they'll be like, cute puppy video. And then you'll click it and then it'll be a picture of the Jeff the Killer face, which is like this white face with long hair and a white hoodie and like just big eyes and a big mouth and no nose. And it will be like just this frightening face and loud screaming noises. And you would prank your friends with it.
Friends.
Mom would not like this thing. No, it was a good thing she was not in this space.
You would be an ex-friend if you did that to me. Yes.
Would I be disowned if I sent you a Jeff the Killer Screamer image?
Possibly. Although you could probably say it's for research, but don't do it.
For scientific reasons.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Screamer image associated with Jeff the Killer has been floating around since 2005, which is earlier than I thought. It originated on Japanese forums, probably. We do not know who originally shopped it. So despite the original creepypasta not coming out until 2011, the visual of Jeff the Killer is older than that. And that's what the mask is. And that's what the costume is, okay. Right?
Yeah.
So already we have a thing where it's like, can the person who wrote the creepypasta that made it famous actually take this? Because it's this image from 2005 that was made by somebody not in the country this costume's being sold in, who is nameless and faceless.
Right.
Right? So immediately, like, they have some cover there. Additionally, there's actually a meta creepypasta associated with the origins of that image now. And there's an extended fan universe, which has significantly expanded the Jeff lore beyond the original person. Edgy teen girls like Jeff and characters like him because they're what I call e-boyifiable. anything can technically become an e-boy. So you're looking at the Wensler model of human male. But creepypasta slashers really slide into those tropes quite nicely, especially if you're like a Hot Topic 13-year-old, which is the demographic. You would think this would be like an edgy like teenage boys cool killer thing. No, this is a I want this to be my boyfriend type situation.
I see.
Which is interesting, but you know, you get your fans where you get your fans. One thing I've noticed is that a lot of these creepypasta costumes will avoid naming the character. Sometimes they'll have no name, sometimes it will be a modified version of the name, like The Killer or Slender Monster.
Yeah.
Or sometimes they'll be called like the catchphrase of the character. So Jeff the Killer's catchphrase is go to sleep, which is super spooky, I'm sure. So the costume will be called like go to sleep guy or something.
Right.
Right. I wonder if this is like a just in case to cover our butts and get around copyright type situation, or if this is like I don't remember what this character is called, but I remember this thing, or close enough, or what?
It might even be that they were second or third or tenth to the Make a Jeff the Killer costume, and there's others who have done it first who, even though they ripped it off, they might have some claim to using that.
Yeah.
So it's to avoid being sued by the previous ripoffer.
So the vultures don't eat the vultures.
Yeah.
Some don't bother with this and they'll just use the character name. I'd say the biggest offenders that I saw for this, morph suits, which are just suits, which is like a single layer of fabric that you put over your whole body. So your costume will be like the killer face and the black wig and the white hoodie and the blood stains, but you'll just be wearing one suit that's like skin tight on your body.
Like a big body suit.
Yeah.
That also goes over your head.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
But it's like a hoodie printed onto that, which is like, at that point, this seems less convenient than putting together your own Jeff the Killer Halloween costume. You will freeze to death. It is Alberta. It is already snowy enough to shovel. This is a
very unforgiving as far as your body shape might be.
Yeah. You're going to need to buy one of those dance belts that ballerinas have if you are of that body type, because otherwise it will be unfortunate. Oh, the panty lines in these costumes must be atrocious. No. Don't buy one of those. Even if they were an ethical company that didn't steal designs, don't buy one. I just don't think they're nice. Anyway, that's a big offender. And then you mentioned the pricey one before. There was one company, at least one company, maybe two. I wasn't sure if the logos were the same. Called Creepypasta.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing to name your company. I did a Google. I couldn't find it. Mm. Because that is the name of a genre. It's kind of like calling your company like...
Short story.
Yeah. Science fiction. My company is science fiction. Right? Like, if you actually look at what that word means, not a business name.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know. But this one mask was like... Was it $50?
$99. Yeah.
Which is insane. Like, it was, like, I think slightly higher quality than some of the masks.
Oh, yeah. It was like a big, like a rubber mask that was clearly very, within the range of all the other ones. But, yeah.
Yeah.
What was it of, though?
That one was of Laughing Jack, who's this clown kind of character. Probably the most e-boy of the e-boys.
What's the E stand for in e-boy?
Like online.
Okay, like E, like yeah. Electronic.
Yeah, like, this is like, we're thinking like of scene emo kind of
right.
style, twinkish men type thing, though. That's the space we're in.
Okay, so an e-boy is the object of affection of a certain age and certain kind of girl.
Yeah, okay. From like mostly 4 years ago, but okay. kind of still now. It's one of those things that mutates and is consistent throughout time, at least post-internet time, probably pre-internet time. You know, fun stuff that exists. But yeah, like $99 for a design that you almost definitely stole. I didn't see any like Laughing Jack trademark. I didn't see any like by this person. It's possible that the person like said you can use this design, but it's also possible that there's no original creator and it's a design that was created by fan artists,
right?
And that these people have just grabbed. Which
yeah, and it's a very yeah. distinctive look. So it's all black and white, and he's mm-hmm. got a nose that's kind of like a. Like a stylized carrot nose of a on a snowman, but it's striped, black yeah. and white stripes. And so it's very distinctive.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell it was supposed to be something,
mm-hmm.
but I never heard of like, Laughing Jack. I would be so surprised if most of the people in that store would have known who that was. Mm-hmm. And also would be so surprised that somebody would invest $100 to look like a character that yeah. most people don't know who it is.
Like, I would say if you saw like a wall of clown masks and that was just put in there, it would be an appealing choice because it stands out.
Yeah.
But it's not your design. You did not come up with this thing and now you're selling it for $100. And that's my main issue with this. Like, you know me, I'm like, steal everything. Nothing is real, right?
I know. Why? Like, this seems like the complete opposite of what you were saying the other day. It's like, it's in the culture. Why not?
Well, my issue with it is the amount of money that they're squeezing out of it. Because a lot of these costumes are cheap to produce. Mm. The Spirit Halloween costumes, the morph suits, those are both generally quite cheap. They're going to charge like you $40. And if one's higher quality, they're going to charge you $100, right? So they're squeezing a lot of money out of these things that tend to not take that much to make. And it's not even their content. It's not hard to come up with a spooky creature design. I have been doing that for the last 24 days.
Yes. So well.
Yeah. Thank you. And some of them I would consider decent. Some of them I might wear as a Halloween costume. Who knows? I won't because there's no reason to wear a Halloween costume because it's a plague year. But if it wasn't, you know, good stuff, mm-hmm. right? So it's not hard to do this. So I consider stealing these characters for the name recognition, which is what they're actually getting out of it. And therefore the profit to be scummy. So it's... that they're getting money from it. I don't like when people get money from things other people have made. The same way that I don't like how people get clout from things other people have made. Mm. Like, if you take some drawing that somebody else did and you put it on your Twitter account and you get more likes on that post, I have a problem with that because you're taking something away from somebody. But if you see a joke and then you say the joke to your friend, then you get the clout of one person thinking you're funnier than you are. And that doesn't hurt anybody.
Right.
So it's just, it's a scale of harm, and I see more harm from this, or taking away potential stuff. Like, if the person who originally came up with Laughing Jack got royalties for every time a Laughing Jack thing got sold, then that would potentially make a big difference in that person's life.
Yeah.
And so that's where I kind of draw the line of, if y'all are going to sustain your business off of this stuff, then I have a problem with it. Because it's not yours. So we saw the super expensive Laughing Jack at Halloween Alley. And we also saw this Slender Man. So you know who Slender Man is, right, Mom?
Yes, that's one that has completely penetrated old people culture.
I think. Yeah, it's thoroughly in the old people culture. So it's this, like... tall, lanky, white-skinned, faceless figure in a suit. Sometimes it has tendrils coming out of it. The thing that struck me about this absolutely knockoff Slenderman is that it had a little tuft of hair on its head.
Yeah. Well, maybe that was supposed to be tendrils.
I don't think so. The tendrils come out of the back. That was just a little bit of hair on the head. Like, you should have shaved all the way, but you're like, I can pull off the mohawk. And then you didn't have the energy to gel off the mohawk every day. So now you just have like this weird limp line of hair in the center of your head. And you're like, one day I'll do it. So you don't get rid of it, but it's not a spooky look. It's just kind of goofy and fascinating. That's an interesting way to cover yourself from copyright, is to make the character significantly worse. Yeah, I'm sure not. But it's just one of those cases of, we will make a thing that's basically this thing. And that thing was actually like called Slender Man. So I'm like, why don't you just steal the design if you're going to call it the thing it is? But they had to make it weird as well, which is kind of classic for these type businesses, is they'll make weird alterations sometimes where I'm like,
but isn't that what Halloween is about? It's like remixing and imagining and giving your and letting your imagination go wild on riffing on things that have already existed.
Yeah, by going to Value Village and buying your own stuff. Slenderman is actually a really interesting case, though, because he is actually copyrighted, established as copyrighted. The creator is a man named Eric Knudsen, who made the original image in 2009 and posted it to Something Awful. Known, established, weirdly younger than Jeff the Killer, which I was surprised by. But yeah, stuff. This is interesting because much of the Slenderman lore came from the twists and mutations of the kind of online oral history that we talked about a couple of episodes ago. The Wikipedia page actually describes his development as folkloric. Huh. So rather than it being Knudsen's own lore building, this was very much a creation of the internet hive mind. He is pretty relaxed with the copyright, though. Like, if you want to put Slenderman in your creepypasta universe story, that's chill. If you want to, like, do this, do that with the character, he's pretty fine with it. But I doubt that any of the animatronics and costumes we looked at were actually licensed. I don't think they'd go through the effort, and I think this guy isn't particularly interested in tracking these companies down one by one and saying, you can't use this thing. Like, it seems like a lot of work and legal fees.
It'd be interesting to know more about that. Wasn't there a movie or something?
Yeah, that's licensed.
Hopefully he got money for the movie.
Yeah, no, he sold off movie rights and stuff. Okay. So yeah, that's all chill. And there have been a lot of hit web series with Slender Man. The Slender Man movie is actually on Netflix. I will not be watching it. Eldritch horror kind of, but slashery isn't my thing. I like the sun is going to eat the planet kind of Eldritch, not like this man is spooky and supernatural and he wants to kill teenagers. Like, just make it a Jeff the Killer if that's the case. You know, I'm far more Sleepaway Camp than I am Slender Man at heart. if you want a really good representation of creepypasta in the mainstream, though, I actually have a recommendation.
Oh.
Channel Zero. Have you heard of Channel Zero?
I don't think so, unless you told me about it and I forgot.
I haven't.
Okay.
So it was created by the Sci-Fi Channel, and it's now hosted on Shudder. It's a horror anthology show where all of the seasons are based off of different creepypastas. So it's one of the most well-received creepypasta offshoots. It has 4 seasons. It's no longer running, and it's corresponding to 4 of the best-loved creepypastas. First season is based off of Candle Cove by Chris Straub, who's still creating spooky online content to this day through his website and through the video series Local 58, which John and I are huge fans of.
Yeah.
So there is good creepypasta stuff out there, even in the post-heyday of creepypasta. Now we're going to talk about something that's actually relevant. But first, we should talk about a sponsor.
Sure.
Also relevant.
Also very relevant. This episode of That's a Thing is brought to you by the Alberta Forest Products Association. And here's a message from them.
Alberta's forests matter to all of us. That's why Alberta's forest industry works to keep them sustainable now and for future generations. By planting 200 years ahead, Helping control the spread of fire and disease, and planting and nurturing 2 trees for every 1 harvested, we keep our forests standing strong. To learn more about how our forests take care of us and how we take care of them, visit loveabforests.com.
Once again, that's loveabforests.com.
Neat.
So, relevant things. Among Us, super relevant right now. In the culture, as one might say.
So far into the culture that even I am getting it in my, like, within my little world. But I would not have understood its incursion into my Twitter feed had you not told me what it was, right?
Okay, what do you know about Among Us?
Among Us is an online video game, a multiplayer game. It has kind of like colorful, cartoonish kind of
art style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beings in it. Mm-hmm. And I could not divine this from what I saw in my feed, but I know from you telling me this before that it's like Mafia, which is also a game that I didn't really know. But it's somebody's an imposter, somebody's a killer, some other people are different things, and nobody knows who everybody is, and the point of the game is to guess who the killer is?
Kind of.
Oh, okay.
Adjacent, again. This is the adjacent episode. Anyway, it's an online multiplayer hidden role game created by a small company called InnerSloth LLC. The game is set on a spaceship, and there are a couple of different maps that you can play on. They basically just have kind of different things that you can do and places you can go, and it's mostly aesthetic, but there's some like strategy to different maps that people can latch onto. As well as a couple of different game modes besides the main one. I'm just going to talk about the main one because we're getting into minutia if we go past that. Games consist of 4 to 10 players, each represented by a different colored little astronaut. There are hats and stuff you can do to customize your character. People have personified all of these somehow already. there are 2 main roles, crewmate and imposter, and then there's a posthumous role of ghost. And the groups have different mechanics and win conditions. The imposter win conditions, that's what you need to do in order to win the game, are 1, you can get to the point where you've outnumbered the crew. So that occurs when there are 2 imposters, 2 crew members, 1 imposter, 1 crew member. That basically means that if it goes to a vote, the imposters can tie the vote every time. There's no point in continuing the game. So the game will end. Or sabotage, which means the imposter has the ability to cut off oxygen or set off a reactor, forcing the players to perform a task in a set period of time, or else the game is ended because all of the players died of, you know, radiation / no oxygen.
Right.
Fun. the imposters have certain special mechanics in order to win the game this way. They can do a murder.
Ah.
Yeah. Okay. There's a kill cooldown, so they can't immediately just kill everybody and win the game. Because, like, one of the cool things about Among Us is how well it balances itself. Like, I've been watching streams of Among Us, and the ways that the game has found to make sure that there's an equal chance of the crewmates and the imposters winning is really cool. So there's this kill cooldown, and then you can kill again, and it's possible to kill, like, 2 people or more around, but it's difficult, so it takes a lot of skill to get to the level where the main way you're winning is just murdering a lot of people. Also, the kill animations are really fun in this game. They're not gory, they're just cute. The imposter can travel through the vents, which is basically functionally teleportation, which makes it easier to sneak up on people and get away from the scene of the crime, because if you're close to the scene of the crime and your crewmates discover you, they're just going to be like, oh, you have done a murder.
Right.
And then they can sabotage, which is setting off that reactor, turning off the oxygen, locking doors, which can slow down people doing their tasks, and turning off the lights, which can make it easier to do a murder because they can't see you do the murder. The crew win conditions are complete all of the tasks, which are little mini games loosely based around the space theme, or inject all the imposters into the vast and empty maw of the void. fun games. So a typical round of Among Us will look something like this. I've watched a lot of these,
yeah.
So I know. This is all from memory, by the way.
Wow.
I needed something to do. And I'm like, it's research. And then I went directly down the rabbit hole. So the crew will spawn together in the main hub of the map. People will split off to complete tasks and gather information about who the imposters may be. Imposters will perform acts of sabotage and murder. A body will be found and reported, or emergency meeting will be called by pressing a button. The living players will deliberate on who the imposter is and vote on who to eject into space, which may be one of their own by accident or maybe one of the imposters. You can tweak the game mechanics a lot. So one option is to play where the game will tell you if you ejected an imposter or not. But there's another option where you have the game not tell you, which is my favorite way to watch it. Because you don't know if you just did a murder accidentally right. and helped the imposters until the game ends.
Wow.
It's just delightful to me. The game ends when either team meets the win condition, and otherwise it'll just keep going like that. So a typical match will last maybe like 15 minutes, 10 minutes, kind of in that little pocket-sized convenience space. Among Us started to climb in popularity around early to mid-September, I'd say. That's when it kind of started being on my radar. It has only gotten bigger. It has made people pseudo-famous, spawned cosplay and fan art, and even made its way to the United States Congress. It is also developing a unique vernacular to describe game strategies and situations. So I'm going to give you a couple of different words that people who play Among Us use, okay. and I want you to tell me what you think they mean. Self-report.
Admit you're an imposter?
No.
Oh, what?
Okay. That is when an imposter will report their own kill in order to look innocent. Because
oh.
otherwise, if you were playing the game and you couldn't report your own kill, then players could just pay attention to who never reports a body.
Right.
And that would be a tip, right? And it can also be a strategic play of, I saw a person who didn't do it by the body, and then I saw the body and I reported. So, you know, they did the murder, not me.
Right.
Which is fun to watch people try to argue. 50-50.
Holy man. I don't know. It's like that tie that you were talking about where you've got even numbers of crew members and imposters?
No. It's when the imposter could be one of two players. So if there are three people in a room and one of them gets murdered, then there and nobody else saw it, there's an equal chance that person A and person B did the murder. Right? Providing they are both imposters. So a 50-50 is when the crew decides that in order to be safe, they're going to eject both players.
Wow.
So they'll eject one first, and then they'll immediately call another meeting and eject the other person in the hopes that one of them was the imposter and they got the imposter out. So it's kind of a bit of a risk play. But yeah, it's reasonably common. Sus.
Well,
as in, like, that's kind of sus, bro.
Oh, suspect?
Is yeah.
it short for suspect?
I think it's short for suspicious, but yeah. I think it's short for suspicious, and it probably came to be because it's a hard word to spell in the chat that people use. Suspicious is a hard word to spell. I did spell it wrong in my script, just to be open. But sus has kind of leaked into the general vernacular a little bit more. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's like one of the slang things that's kind of a hallmark of 2020 is, oh, that's kind of sus, bro. Like that kind of thing.
Interesting.
Marinating.
Well, in my world, that means to like soak some food in some kind of liquid so that it soaks up the flavor of that liquid.
Is no,
that not what this happened.
Unless the liquid is Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. No. So that's when an imposter will stick with a crewmate as they do their tasks and not kill them in order to create a cover and make them appear innocent. Because if you're with them the whole time and you never do a murder on them, then it couldn't have been you, right? But it was you. You were doing murder the whole time, just not them. You were marinating them to be your alibi.
They were like your beard.
Sure. I mean, no, not really. But okay. Alibi was the correct word.
Okay.
I just used it. But okay. Thanks, Mom. Anyway. So that's some of the language of Among Us that is developed. I'm sure there are other things that I haven't like had burned into my brain, but you know. Of course, the major gaming YouTubers and trend-hopping internet personalities have been streaming Among Us, because it's the big thing. So PewDiePie, Markiplier, James Charles, all those big-name people who do whatever's big at the moment, mm-hmm. which is a valid YouTube standard. I'm not knocking people for that. It's just the thing people do. There are also people who have gotten attention specifically from streaming the game. Are you guys ready for some deep Elizabeth lore?
Oh my goodness.
So, in like 2015, I was really into true horror story narration on YouTube. There were a couple of big channels that I was subscribed to. I watched all of their content, super into it, like all I listened to. That scene kind of died and I stopped watching, but I stayed subscribed to some of the channels because they didn't upload that often. It wasn't a hassle to have them in my feed. This included a channel called Corpse Husband. He actually did the definitive, in my opinion, narration of one of the creepypastas, which inspired season 3 of Channel Zero, because everything's connected. he has this super deep monotone voice, which lends itself to that kind of narration. Like, I complain about YouTubers have boring voices a lot.
Yeah.
This guy has an interesting voice, which is always a big plus.
Yeah.
He started streaming Among Us, and I wanted to talk about it on the podcast, so I started watching those streams to get a handle of the mechanics and the space and everything. I did good research this time because I know too much about this thing now. and I watched like 3 streams of this before I realized this guy's one of the most famous people on YouTube right now, because I was subscribed to him for a different reason. I didn't see him on the trending page or anything. I was totally detached from that. His streams get huge traffic. He has fan cams. He's known as being one of the best imposters in the game. He trends on Twitter all the time, including currently, right. at this moment. he is trending with the hashtag OnlyStrands because he doesn't show his face, but for 1 million Instagram followers, he showed a single strand of his hair.
Wow.
Yeah. He also had OnlyHands because he also shows his hands, just no face. I literally had no idea I was into a popular thing.
Oh no.
It's terrible, right? Anyway, the streams are fun to watch. And earlier this week, Corpse was on an Among Us stream with sitting US Congresswoman Ilhan Omar and AOC. So, yeah, neat. That's how mainstream it is right now. It's in Congress.
Yeah, that's
cool. Congress, but Congress.
The squad is playing it. Yeah, but that's how it entered.
Yeah,
so it entered my consciousness 2 ways. One is Brittany LeBlanc, mm-hmm. friend of us.
Hi.
Possibly friend of the show. She's been playing it, and she was screen capping some things and putting it on her Twitter. And the first time I saw it, I didn't know what it was because she didn't say it was Among Us, but you had told me about Among mm-hmm. Us. And so then I asked, is this Among Us? And you said, yes. I felt very smart. And then, yeah, the Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar streaming their game with Corpse, I guess. Was he on that?
He was on it. A bunch of the big people were on it. H Bomber Guy, who's kind of an acquaintance of AOC because he did the 24-hour Donkey Kong stream for a trans charity. That guy, he was on it. A bunch of people.
Yeah. We'll link to this weekend's episode of On the Media, actually, because they talk about this as such an interesting get out the vote thing. And apparently, what AOC was plugging on this stream was a website for going to make sure that you have a voting plan so you can actually get your vote through, hopefully. And it has had lots of attention, but mm-hmm. this caused the most hits it's yeah. ever had.
I'll put a little clip of her talking about that here.
You guys can call me AOC. Mike Pence can't call me AOC, but you guys can call me AOC.
All right.
I didn't even know I recorded myself. I can't kill Pokey. She's so nice.
Are you safe, ma'am?
Okay, I think I have to do it. Sorry, Pokey.
It was an honor. It was an honor.
Okay.
I passed AOC on my way up. Did you murder Myth in cold blood up there?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
No.
That's good enough for me.
Get her out!
I'm trying to be more observant. Okay.
Now I'm murdering a sitting congresswoman.
After everything we've been through!
I can't even vote in this election!
His voice is so deep.
AOC.
What? I didn't call it.
How's your day?
My day's going great. Toast was with me the whole time, but am I being marinated? Is that the term?
I don't think that is the term.
I was being marinated. If you need help figuring out your voting plan, go to iwillvote.com. You'll figure out your polling location, what early voting mail-in, everything. Bye, everyone.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like, was it in any way cringy or was it, oh, these ladies are cool?
No, it was cool. Everybody was like thrilled to have them there.
Yeah.
Like, I hopped through a bunch of different streams of it. I keep saying screams, which is on brand, but it is streams of people playing with them. I didn't watch the actual AOC stream, but, like, different people. And one of the people was just like, I literally don't know what to do. I am so excited. I'm just going to follow AOC around and make sure she doesn't get killed. Like, it was very much an excited, welcoming space, not a this is cringe, now it's too mainstream space. And it has so far been a pretty wholesome community. Part of that's because it's new. I'm sure it will turn terrible eventually. Yeah. But right now, it seems to have been a really sweet community. Another reason that Corpse was trending is that... So there's this YouTuber named Mr. Beast, who I'm kind of sus of, to be honest. Because he keeps advertising honey to me, like, just as, like, banner advertisements online. And I'm like, I'm not sure I trust this man. But he does a lot of giving away stuff in charity. That's kind of the base of his YouTube channel. Whoever got the biggest traction under one of his tweets got $10,000. So Corpse actually won that, and he donated that to charity. Nice. So that was a big, like, wholesome PR thing that happened recently, which is nice.
The other thing they were pointing out on the media was it's only really the hardcore fans that are going to watch a whole stream, right? Or people who just like to watch
this is
streams.
A compilations type thing.
But because it's so easy to clip and share, like, the reason that this has AOC plays Among Us has entered the culture is because it's so easy to share on Twitter, right? Which is kind of like more sort of cross-pollination between the social networks.
Yeah. And the main thing on Instagram actually that's gotten Among Us there has been the cosplay scene, which is like the fan art scene is a big part of it. People will do all sorts of fun Among Us fan art, but also the cosplay. Like, there are people who, I guess, immediately got funky colored astronaut suits and started making TikToks, which are now on Instagram stories because all Instagram stories are TikTok videos uploaded to Instagram. But yeah, like, I've been scrolling through stories occasionally to numb my brain because it's really good at that. And occasionally, like, surprisingly frequently, actually, and I'll see if I can grab a couple of them for our show notes. There will be somebody doing, like, a lip sync in an Among Us costume or following along with a funny clip of people playing Among Us or something. Like, it is huge right now. Like, when I say huge, I mean, like, huge right now. So, yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Have you ever played?
No.
Well, why don't you play?
I don't like games to begin with. I'm not a gamer. I'm anti-fun a little bit. I find this kind of game stressful. And I'm actually like this about the real life equivalents, like Mafia as well. I like narrating. I like hosting. I like being like, oh, we are going to begin our game and I will narrate when you are supposed to open your eyes and do a murder and how the murder happened. But in terms of like actually doing the murder, I'm like, I'm going to get suspected immediately because I'm dark and edgy and people don't trust me. Do not pick me. I am a bad teammate. Like, it makes me nervous. Mm. And so I don't like that kind of thing. But I find watching it really fun. And I find looking at why it's so big really fun. Would you play the game if you understood how to play the game?
I also am anti-fun, but yeah. I'm not good at strategy games, and it frustrates me when I'm bad at them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fascinating to see what it's done to the culture already.
I can imagine you rage quitting on the card swipe task. So this is a notoriously difficult little mini game where you have to move this card across the scanner at like the exact right pace, which is like trying to get your credit card to accept that you've put it into the machine simulator a little bit. People are terrible at it. It's like a meme in the space. I can imagine you like trying that 5 times and then leaving the game.
Probably.
Yeah. But I have a couple of ideas for why Among Us is so big right now. Mm. And I think it's because it's the perfect game for the pandemic. Mm. You don't need a high level of technical skill or equipment to play the game. Like, card swipe is hard, but you need like your hand or your cursor to do it. So not a huge investment of your time. There's not a huge learning curve. You can play with your friends using a game code so you can stay connected with people you know. It's also a way to meet new people by playing the game. It is similar to party games people already know, like Mafia. So your focus is on putting together information and learning how people tend to play. So it's actually very social. And the more you play with the same people, the better you get at playing with them. Because you know, like, oh, that sounds like your lying voice. I'm familiar with this. Or like, oh, I know how this person usually does this thing or this and that kind of thing. Or I love playing imposter with this person. I know exactly how we're going to win because I know how we both play, right? So it's actually quite social as a simulator. And I think better than something like social media where you're kind of not focused on any particular thing. The teamwork aspect of this, I think, makes it more fulfilling for people.
Mm.
So yeah, it's also a lot of arguing and big brain strategies and power plays and bold moves, which makes it fun to watch, even though there isn't a lot actually happening on screen. Because if you have a good streamer, what they're doing is they're telling you, oh, I think it's this person because of this. Oh, I have to defend myself now because I'm definitely not the imposter, but everybody has decided I am. Like, okay,
so
all this fun stuff.
The content is the commentary.
Yeah,
more
the content.
Than,
yeah.
Like watching somebody shoot things or whatever.
Yeah, it's the people. Which is why I like it. Like, I don't watch gaming streams which are like Call of Duty style mm-hmm. shooters. I don't find that interesting to me personally. But this kind of trying to figure out a mystery, trying to like both metagame, how does this person play, and then what information do we have? That I find enjoyable. In the same way that I find like whenever Polygon Overboard plays a hidden role game and it's just these friends gaslighting each other for an hour. Like, I also, in the same way, I find that really fun to watch and kind of, even though I'm not participating, I get that parasocial I'm hanging out with friends feeling, which is not something people get a lot of right now in the plague time. So I think it's the perfect game to pass time on during a plague, and that's why Among Us is the best thing to happen this year so far. Low right. bar, but
very low bar.
There we go.
Well, thank you for telling me about that. That's awesome. Very awesome.
Mm.
Also, I'm going to drop into the show notes a link to a sketch from the Debutantes, which is a local sketch comedy group about an unexpected update to a Call of Duty like game that I thought was really funny.
So. Okay, cool.
You can subscribe to our show in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever else pods are cast. You can also find us and the rest of the outstanding members of the Alberta Podcast Network at albertapodcastnetwork.com. And I just want to put in a wee plug for Taproot Edmonton Presents Igniting Innovation, a new podcast series from my company, Taproot Publishing. It's about the local tech scene, and it's really good. Mm-hmm. And you can find it in your podcatcher or at presents.taprootedmonton.ca. We are on Twitter at That's a Thing Yeg, and you can always email us a question or a comment or a request for a button at thatsathingyeg@gmail.com. Is that everything?
I think that's everything.
Thanks, sweetheart.
You're welcome. Bye.
Shouldn't you go bye?
Bye. What?
Like your Transylvanian bye. Oh,
you're welcome. Bye. You can't do bye in Transylvanian accent. I also cannot do Transylvanian accent. My wife. Bye. That's her after.